This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, I went the Ford route. All with great warranties, got the extended one. Chris, incredible. Jared was great. Fabulous staff over at Sunbury Motors. Great pre-owned inventory. Saw the lot. They go over each one with a fine-tooth comb to make your buying experience easier. And a service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, which you need. Difficult, which sometimes is necessary. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. I believe I have Mark Wogenrich now with us.
Yes, you do.
Mark, first of all, thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, so an additional $630 million to bring the max total, and they say that's the max number, will be $700 million. As you covered the vote today, there were questions that were brought up. What did you think of the questions and the answers they received?
I think overwhelmingly it came down to cost versus value. This is what I think what some of the trustees who have issues with this, that's what they're coming to. One of the issues that came up was a separate proposal, evidently, that was made to bring in, I guess, outside agencies that would be a public-private partnership that would be part of the renovation. That would include some other renovations or other construction besides Beaver Stadium, like I understood some sort of maybe perhaps entertainment district or condo development, something like that. And ultimately, the university did not choose that route. They chose the route of just keeping it in house, self funding it through the athletic department. And I think where they're coming from with this is they're pitching Beaver Stadium as not just Beaver Stadium anymore, that this is a year-round entertainment facility in itself. One of the interesting things that Pat Kraft, the athletic director, said is that once Beaver Stadium is done, it would be, quote, one of the only multi-use entertainment facilities at this scale between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. That, to me, is the core point that they're trying to drive home.
That's right.
With the new Beaver Stadium, that this is not seven Saturdays a year anymore, that this is a 365... this is a 365-day-a-year building. They're going to have a 20,000 square foot of additional event space within Beaver Stadium as part of a welcome center. That with the club space that's going to be added, with the club seating, with the suites, there's something like a founder suite and some other executive suites that are going to be in there. They're using that as revenue generation for football, but also that this is going to be used the rest of the year. And I don't think it's just going to be confined to big events like a Luke Combs concert or whatever comes down the road with international soccer. Allie Krieger, one of the board members of the new board members, suggested maybe a Women's World Cup game if the U.S. gets the Women's World Cup in 31. But this is just going to be event space. Even just think of things like weddings, meetings, trade shows, anything like that, anything you can bring to Central Pennsylvania, I think they're looking to use Beaver Stadium in that way an awful lot more than it is now.
Yeah, in fact, I think they want to use meetings, weddings. You know, in other words, they want to have the kind of meeting space, wedding space, where that building is being rented out as often as possible. And let's face it, hey, we're going to have our wedding. We want to have it at Beaver Stadium. Okay, yep. Now it's going to cost you to do it, but like they're trying to use that label as an intrigue to bring more business in like that.
Yeah, and I know they do some of that, like some of maybe the like yes. the club seating area or like the yes. recruiting lounge. Some of that is rentable space now, the suite.
Yes.
But it's simply not available. One of the things that Pat Kraft said, that they have a wait list for suites.
Right.
And that, I mean, when you're going to be adding that number of suites on the other side, that doesn't have to be just used during the season. Those suites can be rented at any time.
Well, more so than that, to me, suites on the west side have slightly more value than suites on the east side, game-wise.
Right.
But on the west side, because the sun's at your back in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not in your face. And that's a small thing, but something that has to be brought up. They want to upgrade the field.
The biggest thing, like I said, I think it was just the fact that this is now, Beaver Stadium is now going to be coined as a multi-use entertainment facility.
Yeah. Exactly. And look, right now it has a backlog of $200 million in deferred maintenance, which everybody around here knew anyway. It was like coming out today, it was like, oh, okay, so they finally told everybody. Okay. All right. So, I mean, that's part of this. And that's something that it would have continued to accumulate if they had done nothing, right?
And I think the additional, some of their estimates were, was that, you know, if you don't see those funds this year, then you're adding another $40 million.
That's
potentially
right.
to that in more deferred maintenance. So that is not a static cost. That's a rising cost. You know, the maintenance is keep going. I mean, that's a steel structure. Steel needs maintenance. Things like those concourses are they're narrow. So in some spaces, Pat Kraft said, I was able to interview him this morning, some of them are like 14 or 15 feet wide. They're going to more than triple the width of some of the concourses. That is going to dramatically open up. And that's a full stadium thing. That's not just the west side.
That's
going to go to the east side as well. Things like escalators coming in, that they're going to improve circulation, some of the gate entry issues. All of that stuff that makes Beaver Stadium difficult to get into, to get around, to get out of, that is all part, I think, of the infrastructure issue of it.
Right. More escalators, more elevators. The expanded concourses will go from 14 feet, which is what Mark just pointed out, to 50 to 55 feet. So that essentially quadruples the width of the concourse. They'll add the Gate F concourse will be used to get traffic into the stadium. Two new video boards. I know the Wi-Fi cell service thing. I mean, it's like it become a bad joke over the years, but yeah. More concessions, I think 102 more.
A 70% increase. And the bathrooms, obviously, 15% more bathrooms, which surprised me. I was like, I thought that number might be higher. But
yeah, I mean, because again, the last thing you want are lines, because you want people to leave the stadium regardless of the score and say it was a great experience. That's what that stuff does, in my opinion.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. Okay. So now the question is going to be, Sarah Thorndike was there, and she was talking about the money part of it. And she explained the logistics of not doing anything, building brand new, doing this. What were some of her answers on this?
Yeah. So essentially, this was a three-pronged, or they modeled three issues. Not doing anything, which is that's the bare minimum. That's the maintenance. That's the $200 million plan. That's just fixing what needs to be fixed. That doesn't address the revenue issue, and that's a key issue. As you know, we're getting into the new where an athletic department is going to have to start paying players. They're going to have to generate more revenue from outside sources. That's part of this. A new stadium, as she said, $2 billion, and that's going to be a sub 100,000 seat stadium. You're not getting 106,
mm-hmm.
or right. probably even 100,000 seat stadium for $2 billion. So that's you're right. building a smaller stadium. It might be in the 90s. So that's how they settled in on the current number, which is $700 million. She actually told the board that they have a target number of $664 million. They're budgeting out to $700 million. $70 million was what was bought released last year, was approved last year through bonds. So that the next phase would be, or the what they approved today essentially was up to $630 million, and that will be funded through bonds. Philanthropy, they're looking at raising about $134 million,
mm-hmm.
through philanthropy, and they've also modeled that revenue, the revenue increases that will come from Beaver Stadium, the extra usage, the suite sales will pay for this over, it's modeled out over 30 years. She said they don't think they're going to need to borrow over 30 years, but again, that's their modeling where they're going. And as always, just to reiterate, Penn State Athletics is self-funding, so none of this money will come from the university budget, tuition dollars, anything like that. She did tell me something, I think this was maybe hinted at last year. Penn State would accept, the budget does not include any modeling for state grants. So there's no state money as of now that would be used. But if the state wants to offer something because of, the statewide usage of Beaver Stadium, they say that it's, that it is a facility that benefits the entire state. Sarah said that they would welcome some sort of state grant or state funding, quote, as long as it is outside of what we get for our educational mission. So it has to be something specifically related to Beaver Stadium and not to the educational budget.
Was it brought up that if they wait, because the original proposal of this was like 2017, right around there, the original proposal?
Yeah, well, the athletics master plan came out in 2017, and Beaver Stadium was part of that.
And the bottom line is that the number on that was said to be approximately $400 million, if I recall correctly.
I think that's right.
And this is what happens, Mark, all the time with, for example, the Olympic Games. Why do the Olympic Games financially struggle? Because they'll put in the bid 7 to 8 years before they have the games, and they're trying to project out costs. And then when they build it, there are cost overruns because everything goes up exponentially. Was it brought up today, if you don't do it now, it's going to cost exponentially more if you wait 5 years?
Many times. And even just with the smaller issues was regarding just maintenance. Specifically, one of the costs, they said the cost of waiting just on maintenance will be $40 million a year. And that doesn't even account for everything else. Now, you can model in perhaps costs get lower as inflation rates go down or interest rates go down, that sort of thing. So that, it is fluid. But by waiting, you're just adding, they're adding like 5%, 5 to 7% with just maintenance costs, material, labor, construction, that sort of thing, every year. So you keep doing this, you wait another 4 years, it's another $100 million, or even more.
This will be done in phases. At 24, we'll see. No, what you see now is what you're going to get. You will see a new football field because right now it's all dirt. Mm-hmm. They tore it out last week, but it'll stay the same. But starting in January, there'll be changes and done in phases. Did they discuss what that means to capacity and movement of fans while they're doing this in 25 and 26?
The biggest thing to me, Steve, is this is going to be our last year in the press box, as I understand it, correct?
Yes, it is.
Phasing out, that the press box is going to be one of the first things starting in 25. That's going to go along with that, the top half of that west side of the stadium. That's all coming out. And as Pat Kraft called it, they're building a superstructure in that place. So there's going to be some temporary bleachers installed. I think they want to minimize that. I would assume I think some of the numbers were maybe less than, you know, it should be less than 1,000 people probably impacted. Okay. I don't know how much capacity is necessarily going to be impacted by that, but it will be. They're going to install temporary seating, some temporary bleachers in the place. But we're going somewhere else for 2 years. Yeah. That certainly is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, home sweet home.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that next 25 will be the upper half of the west side is going to be demolished, and then 26, the lower bowl seating is going to be replaced. That'll be replaced with club seating. And again, as Pat Kraft said, that what they want that to have the minimum amount of impact.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact,
you will see some temporary seats in there.
Right. Yeah, because the club seating on the west side is what they do at Michigan State with their box, and that's how they do it. I know they only had one picture of it, right? One rendering. What did you think of the one they put out?
It looked very temporary to me. They looked like placeholder rendering. I saw two. There was one on the website that they released, and then one in the package. Nice, I guess. I don't think that's what it's going to look like. It's much different than the brick facade that we saw 7 years ago.
Yes, yeah.
You do, and then the interesting thing, that the rendering is specifically of that west side, and that is where what they're calling the Welcome Center is going to be. So there's a lot of glass there. It looks fairly modern. That, to me, is not what we're going to get. As I understand it, or as I, you know, as I look at it, I think it's going to be something substantially different. But you do see there will be bleachers up, you know, above. So it looks like you're going to get some height again. That the bleachers will top out over kind of the substructure of the stadium that kind of had a unique design. And I noticed they replaced a lot of that parking with trees. I'm going to say that probably will change too.
Yeah, but it's part of that, you know, to be honest with you, part of that is what you have to go by what the College Township Planning Commission allows you to do. And that's something like, hey, Penn State approved it. College Township, like all the islands with the trees and the lighting that you have in the west side now, that was all mandated by College Township years ago. Yeah, so there are certain things where, like, hey, why did they make that choice? They were told to make that choice. Like, why is the back? Remember, the back of the scoreboard used to have the championships on it. Well, guess what? It violates the sign ordinance, so they had to get rid of that too. So there's a lot.
Okay, so that I didn't know. So.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I've been here a while. All right, so.
Well, yeah, the township would be something to watch too, to whether you know what they approve or disapprove.
Right. Yeah,
at least regarding some of the specifics of this.
For example, the practice bubble, they have to go to College Township about that because it's in College Township.
Right.
You probably haven't had a chance to do this yet. Any reaction from fans yet? Have you had a chance at all to gauge that, or is that too soon?
Specifically on this, I think it's a little too soon. But over the past year, my sense was that I think Penn State, at least from a fan perspective, landed in a sweet spot that I remember. I used to go to Yankee Stadium, like the old Yankee Stadium, which I loved.
Yeah.
But man, it was so hard to get around. You know, it wasn't modern. And I think, you know, fans do believe. In that this place, you know, Beaver Stadium needs to be upgraded, updated, and modernized. So that part of it, I think in a sense that anybody wanted a new building, especially if it was going to cost that much, if it was going to lower capacity. At that point, if you're building a new building, you're probably going to have to name it something. You're going to have to sell the naming rights for financial reasons. And so far, that's not part of this. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but Patrick Kraft has said that's not part of it. To this point. So I think they've landed on the right place with this among fans. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be inconvenienced, but I think at 27, they're going to get, if they get a better, you know, if the product is what comes through, that it's just a better place to be for 3.5 hours on Saturday. Not only then, but it also is able to monetize itself in broader ways that can, you know, that can help not just football. It's not going to be just a football thing, but it's going to be, you know, really important to football. But it can help monetize itself that it can benefit the rest of the athletic department. That's a huge thing that I don't know people really, if they necessarily understand that part of it. This building has got to generate some revenue, more revenue.
Yeah, there are also 30,000 seats in there that were brought over from the west side that are now about 90 years old. You have you have other parts that are 64 years old, and you have the upper deck in the north end zone, which is now 33 years old. South end's the baby part.
20.
That's 23 years old. Hey, okay. Sometimes you have to look at it and go, okay, it's time. Hey.
Yeah, you got to unify that whole. Yeah, the whole space has to be unified in some ways.
So. Yeah, exactly. Mark, always a pleasure. Great work on this, as you usually do.
Thanks so much, Steve. Keep following along. This is not. This is only the beginning.
It is only the beginning, and you'll be one of the ones we'll turn to for it, too. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time.
Mark Wogenrich joining us on the show. I know that they'll have to get naming rights for everything. You know, I thought maybe the press box they should call Suit City. No, not good.
We'd get it. It might confuse people when they come for clothes.
I'm telling you right now that they already know who he is. All we have to do is give it to local authorities, and they know. No. Bad idea. All right. Back tomorrow. Looking forward to it. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.